Man, clear my throat here. I've
Let
had
me clear my throat.
a throat thing for like 2 weeks.
COVID.
Maybe.
Gotta be.
Gotta be, right? But I'm not sick though. I'm just like
Long COVID.
yeah, then the making a lot of sense right now. No, yeah, I have no idea, but it hasn't affected me in any way whatsoever. It's just I'm constantly like Boba Booey, like doing the
Playing a lot of shows, singing, straining on the voice, nah.
no, I mean, how much could we possibly play? It's not like we go to practice once a week and then we'll play like an occasional show, so it's not like, it's not like we're
Gotta
tw
switch to some kind of AI backing to crush, like a Vince Neil's, like it's working for him.
Oh yeah, no, it's speaking of Vince Neil, big news for those guys. I'll tell you this. When I posted the new Motley Crue song, I didn't even realize it was an official video. I thought it was just a song. The song, I just put it up on my Spotify, listened to it, and it's just so out, like it's so dumb. Like
It's terrible.
I don't even think it's terrible. It's just so dumb. It's
It's
so dumb.
generic. It sounds like some generic version of metal that isn't their sound,
It's
never was their sound,
yes,
with
that's what I'm saying.
AI doing studio tricks. We all know what Vince sounds like.
Yeah.
So at what point, like, what are we doing?
What
What
are
are
we
we,
doing?
why bother? Why
Why
bother?
are we lying to each other? Just go
Yeah.
out there and play the 10 songs that people give a shit about.
Seriously, man. Like, it's.
And I get it. You want to make new music, but I don't really I feel like maybe one of them does. I genuinely just look at them as like four guys that are just going to work. And they're like, okay, when we go to work, like if they book like a 2 month stadium tour, like they don't have to work again for like 2, 3 years,
Oh yeah.
I get it.
You know what it is with them? It's just that they still like think that they can allude, like, yeah, we want to put some new stuff out, or we want to, like, at least Gene Simmons and Kiss, there was no bones about, like, this is I'm gonna tell you straight up, like, I'm just gonna work this angle to keep this thing floating, whether it be avatars or whatever the fuck, and like this retiring and not, and then that the video looked like, I mean, it was like Lawnmower Man or Def Leppard
I
quality
don't
for me.
care. I'll tell I was gonna finish my point. My point was, after watching the video, I kind of like it. I like the video, man. It's so fucking dumb, and the irony of them being AI characters and the song being like, you could have told me that's an AI Motley Crue, and I would have believed you, because the song just sounds so. There's no way. I can't even imagine that they were on the same planet recording that thing. They're just like,
No,
Vince,
that's a
just.
Bob Rock, puzzle thing he put together,
It's like when I got the Smut Peddlers, High and Mighty in Cage CD, and in it they had a Beetlejuice on something called Pimpology,
Okay.
and it was like a 50-second like track or something, and I was like, oh, that's funny because they got him to say a bunch of dumb shit. And when it comes with the DVD and it shows you what it took to get him to say what they
Oh.
needed him to say, and it was like just unbelievable. Like he just they took like 10 things and they just made something out of it, and it's just
Sure.
I'd like to talk to like a real Motley Crue fan. Like, I want to talk to a real Motley Crue fan.
What's his face? Nick from Dean Scar. Love to know his thoughts.
So he says he likes it. Also, like Michelle Rizzo's husband
He likes
likes
it.
he well he loves Motley Crue. So I'm just curious, like,
Well,
because
that's
it
the thing. If they're your favorite band, like, you might be more forgiving or just happy to have them putting stuff out than, like, I would be, on the first two albums. And then I'm always curious what they were doing. I mean, I liked Theater of Pain when I was a kid, but then I went back and listened to them. Like, this isn't really very good.
It's unlistenable except for Home Sweet Home. It's
Yeah.
unlistenable.
You know,
like, yeah, like, and
so
they.
maybe they just would never mean that much to me that they're putting stuff out. But I'm always curious what, the old guys are doing and stuff. And they don't do anything or really care, I think, about their legacy, really. It's just,
Yeah,
that's just what it is.
I think you're right, and because at a certain point, like you don't really like they don't have that deep of a catalog where you're like, oh, look at the set list this year. It's like no, they literally have like maybe let's see, the first album has Livewire that people give a shit about, maybe On With The Show. Then you have fucking Shout At The Devil, Too Young To Fall In Love, then you have Home Sweet Home, and we
Well,
have
they're not a band. The fall off
Smoking In The
between the
Boys Room.
single and the big hit versus the quote unquote deep cuts with them is so drastically, like, there's never like, oh, I saw them and they played, Save Our Souls or something. They're never gonna do that shit. You know what I mean? They're never
That's what I'm
gonna,
saying. Yeah, like at a certain
I don't
point, you're
know.
just like, like I said, we're not the fan base, so we could pontificate all we want. So it's just we would need like a Nick on there,
Of course. I think if they really gave a fuck about what their fans wanted, like real core fans, because I've always heard, and I wasn't into them when they put out that record with Karabi, but as an adult, I've listened to it. I'm like, this is a fantastic album.
But
This might be their best.
it doesn't sound like
Right.
Motley Crue.
It doesn't, but I'm like, this might be their most like complete kind of record. Like, this is pretty great. And like, do a club tour with Karabi. Gives the fans, like, if you really meant something to them. But like, that ain't gonna happen, so
That would be an
whatever.
interesting thing to do for sure. But even like now, Mick Mars, like he's like, I don't think he could do much of anything. Those guys just like it's still enough to be Nikki Sixx for Motley Crue and do whatever you want. You
Sure.
know, like
And
he's still.
Mick Mars sounds like it. That record sounds like overproduced. Doesn't necessarily sound like him either. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
his new shit. I don't know. Maybe it's just not my
It's just not,
thing
yeah.
anymore.
But
Yeah.
yeah, and listen, the video's cool. This song is not so much.
Can you imagine if they shot the regular, like Vince? Like, what would you do with the way he looks and stuff? Like, they were going to shoot a video and they're actually in it. Like, what do you do to make him look like a human being?
You can't. There's nothing you could do. Like that guy got so much fucking like pussy on the front end of his like life that it's just like he, it just, it's the ultimate payback. It's like, you know what? Your life was too good for like most of your life. Now, for the last 10 years, you're going to be a fucking walking joke. And it all started with that goddamn makeover when he got plastic surgery and that soccer mom hairdo. I was just like,
I
oh,
remember that shit.
this shit is like an act. Like, Gigi Allen would really do what he said. Like to certain people that are really about that life, I'm like, oh, this guy just. And then when I found out he didn't even write lyrics, he didn't do anything. He was just like the guy that you're like, all right, you're blonde, just sing somewhat, I guess. And he's like,
Yeah.
yeah, cool, give me
Well,
the mic.
I mean, you can make the same argument for Ozzy.
Oh, you can make the same argument for
Yeah,
Ozzy.
right.
100%. Like 100%,
Sure.
yeah, the Ozzy thing is like it's
The
always gonna
thing is,
be.
Ozzy has personality and we like him. Like, Vince is a murderer, basically, and a fat asshole,
Too soon, too soon. Yeah, I just yeah, Ozzy,
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee this year, too.
yeah, so
Say Ozzy.
let's talk about that list. But before we do, you have the list in front of you?
Of who made it in?
No, like the nominees.
I'll pull it right up right
Yeah,
now, Jamie.
pull it up. Pull it up because I'm gonna talk about the Hulu like Bon Jovi thing, which is really good. It's like a four-part docuseries on Bon Jovi, and I was wondering if they were gonna cover like his vocal issues because his vocals sounded so bad, and they are. I guess he has something wrong with his vocal cords. So like, half of it is like, it's that current day, hey, this is what we're doing now, mixed in with that back in the day type shit. And
Right.
it's fucking fantastic. It's so fascinating. It's such a great story. I'm halfway through with it. I'm on episode 3 right now, and it's on Hulu. And I highly recommend, even if for the casuals and stuff like that, Desmond Child is in it, you know, talking about like how they brought him in to, you know, co-write some songs on Slippery When Wet that broke them. Just really good stuff. And the John Bon, like the solo album, you know, like, cause I guess he said Emilio Estevez asked him if he could use Wanted Dead or Alive for Young Guns. And John was just like, that's cool, but how about I just write you some songs for the movie? And then that's how like that album came about, which I thought was cool. Shit. And then there's a clip of like Richie Sambora on the Arsenio Hall show. Remember when like I would love when like rockers would go on Arsenio Hall and he'd have to like make pretend like he gave a shit.
He did.
It would be like, all right, cool. Like Steelheart is our musical guest or something, you know?
Yeah. And he'd still have to introduce it with like that fake enthusiasm.
Yeah, he did. And then he had that hair. His hair looked like
Love that show.
Are you kidding me? I would watch it all the time. I was a big talk show guy. You know, the late night stuff, because there wasn't like at night, like as a kid, you would put it on. You know, when you're 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
It started with Johnny Carson, but I was like kind of not too into that. But David Letterman was the one that like really, I'm like, I like this guy. I don't know what it is. Like he was just funny. They had the top 10.
Sure.
Seemed like super New York.
Yeah, he was a stand-up first, you know what I mean? So he had that mentality and he was good on his feet, you know what I mean? But that back in the day, like we had that, there was like a boom. That's when you had the Chevy Chase show and the Dennis Miller show. Everybody was getting on back in the day. You know,
when
Arsenio
Johnson
was on Channel 9, yeah, Magic Johnson, that was a disaster.
Yeah, he held down Channel 9, and it seemed like it played forever, but it didn't. It was only like a few years, you know? And then you would
nobody
watch.
Nobody else
like,
was having Wu-Tang and Tribe and all that shit on, you know?
No. And I was a big fan. I mean, he had on fucking Jason Voorhees to promote, to promote, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, and as stupid as it is, it was pretty funny. Like, who else would do that? You're like, all right, he's gonna sit there, I'm gonna ask him questions, and he's not gonna answer, and I'm like, I don't know, that was pretty good. So, but anyway.
Speaking of, I pulled up, you mentioned Tribe Called Quest, because the nominees for the Hall, we had Mary J. Blige, for the inductees, Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy and the Tribe Called Quest.
I mean, at this point, it's so fucking stupid. Like, you know,
of course,
like it's just so fucking dumb. Like, it at a certain point, every band that ever put out a record is going to be in there. You know, it's just the names that you mentioned. Like, it's just every time. At this point, just get rid of rock and roll. Just say the Music Hall of Fame, or like rebrand it, because it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I mean Dave Matthews. They had a moment, but I don't know.
That's the most offensive name on that fucking list. No. Let anyone shit on Tribe Called Quest for being on the ballot and not shit on Dave Matthews, because that is the most offensive. Shout out to our buddy Joe from Outburst, because I'm sure he's very excited for Dave Matthews to be on the ballot. But I mean,
how does Eddie Trunk feel about it? Has he?
No, you want to
come
know,
out with any
no.
Like really subtly racist against Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah,
like he usually does.
Well, I swear to God, I could just picture it now. He'd be like, "At least Dave Matthews has a guitar." Oh, like he's gonna say something like dumb like that. It's maddening. He really is the biggest fat. He's just a fat Herb. He's like a fucking fat Herb that.
I hate him so much.
He's the only fucking guy who gives a fuck about the Rock and Roll.
But I
Hall
like,
of Fame.
You know what? I like enjoy my hatred of him so much. Like if he wasn't with us anymore, I'd be like, oh man, or like he'd stop posting. Like get off on like not liking that guy.
I listen to his fucking podcast every Thursday.
Do you?
Yeah,
every
fucking Thursday he takes a piece of his serious Monday through Friday show, and then he'll put it up.
Lace you with a piece of that.
Just, like I mean, absolutely. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to pull up just his last few episodes so you could tell me just how ridiculous. But I love it. I could listen to these stupid talks. All right. So the last episode was the Scorpions that apparently are still alive. You got Tom Kiefer and Jeff Pilson. Jeff Pilson's just talking about it. He's in what band is he now? Foreigner?
I think he isn't Foreigner, but I think he did something with Lynch again. Not like an official dock and release, but some kind of covers record with George Lynch. I don't know. Some record that nobody's calling for.
You got he was on the on a cruise. He did an episode with Armored Saint and Chips Enough from Enough's Enough. Dave Matichetti from YNT. I mean, he's got everyone that you want to talk to. You got
I guess I
Jackie.
love that these guys all still have a place to go because, I mean, who else is booking YNT
Yeah.
2024 to talk to, you know?
At the
Good
very
for them.
least, you're right. He is still holding down like the people that like I mean like I'm, we're talking fringes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's like if somebody like wanted to like interview young black teenagers, basically. And just
No
like, oh.
keel, though, I see.
Huh?
No keel, though. He hasn't had any keel.
No,
That's a bummer.
Kiel has removed himself. But you know, the one thing about the rock and roll thing is the show. The shows are fun. I just watch them. I watch the
Yes.
segments. I like the speeches. I think it's a big deal to like the bands, probably, you know, like especially if you're old enough, you know, and you're like 70. Like, I guess when you were like 60 or 70, like that, I guess the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like meant something, you
Sure,
know, and
I get it.
now you're just like, oh, cool. I'm in with like Donna Summer and ABBA. You're just like,
Anyone I know that's actually been to the physical places, it's fantastic. I mean, it's not something I'd make a pilgrimage just for, nor do I find myself floating around Cleveland much these days, but I heard it's nice.
yeah. So I watched a couple of things. Speaking of talk
Yeah.
show, did you get a chance to watch Late Night with the Devil yet?
Oh yeah, we saw it in the
Oh, you
theater
saw it in.
opening weekend.
Okay, so then so
The
did
whole
my.
fam.
Yeah. Okay. So, your wife and your son, right? Okay.
Yep,
So,
yep.
what did they think?
We all loved it. Me and my wife definitely loved it. I wasn't sure because I remember I think you saw it before me. And
Yeah.
you said this definitely got a lot of nostalgia value, especially people that grew up. We're talking about talk shows and stuff like that. You remember these kind of looking sets in those
Yeah.
Donahue days and whatnot, and those kind of shows, or Joe Franklin, some low budget fucking
Hell
late night,
yeah.
whatever.
Oh
So
my God, Joe
all that
Franklin.
stuff we got off on. And then my son, obviously at 13, I'm like, is he gonna? But he loved it anyway. It didn't matter that he didn't, there wasn't any kind of nostalgic touch, just as a story it worked. And I loved it. I mean, I thought it was great to see like a good independent film and a theatrical release get a lot of love. It's definitely the best movie I've seen so far this year. It's been not a great year for me. I don't know about you, but so far, but it's my favorite film I've seen this year.
I think it's like gearing up right now. But yeah, I have to say it might be the best movie I've seen this year for sure. And I love that they really committed to it. They committed to it being an episode of a TV show. You know, they committed to it with the breaks and stuff like that. The main guy was everyone in it was really fucking good.
Hell yeah.
And you know, only to be You know, the only thing that I saw that was just as good is Lisa Frankenstein. Did you watch that yet?
Yeah, I didn't love it,
Yeah, my
to be
girlfriend
honest with
didn't
you.
love it either. What is it about it that you didn't like? Because I'm just trying to figure out why. Because
Well,
I
listen,
fucking loved it.
horror comedy is a tough thing for me. I don't know. Like I didn't feel like it succeeded that far in either side. So a little uneven. I don't like the way Diablo Cody writes at all. Never did. Looked cool though, and I definitely could see it getting a cult following with people younger than me though. That being said,
Like me.
like you,
Yeah,
even younger.
Even younger. Yeah, I watched it and it just fucking completely worked for me. I don't know what, I think as soon as it starts out, you get one in Rome, the promise, and then from there it's just like, I think musically every like music selection worked. I love the absurdity that made it feel like a John Waters film. I love the sweetness of it that made it feel like a John Hughes film. And the, like
Definitely some Burton
the goth
vibes
ish,
too.
the
Yeah,
goth vibes that made it feel
sure.
like a Tim Burton. I said it was like a Weird Science meets Serial Mom is like what it really like felt like to me. And it went a little bit further than I thought it was going to go. It was actually kind of like more violent than I figured. And speaking of Nick Greystone, he told me, not, not to get too spoiler, it's not really a spoiler, but like the Easter egg, because it's directed by Zelda Williams, which is Robin Williams' daughter. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that, no.
So that's why he's wearing rainbow suspenders at in the last scene.
Oh, shit. All
Yeah.
right. No
So
idea.
that was like a nod to her dad. And I was like, man, I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. All right, on deck, I'll tell you, I want to watch.
Have you seen the First Omen?
No, I
Okay.
did you?
Fucking hated it. And
Yeah, because.
apparently I'm the only person. I see people loving it. I thought it sucked. I stand by it. I
I remember you were like, I remember your review of it, and you were very not very angry about it.
It was just eye rolling and eye rolling and like
Didn't you
just
say you
that
wanted to
cap.
walk out of it?
Yeah, I could have seen myself like shutting it off if I was home with the popcorns. I still had a little left in the bag and might as well finish it, but there's a couple of things. Charles Dance, I love that actor. It's one of those things they put him in for 3 minutes in the beginning, and then you never see him again. So I was a little disappointed by that. The Catholicism exorcism thing, blah blah blah. I mean, I'm just kind of, I don't know. Like, I don't think there's anything fresh to do with that anymore. It was an absurd premise why the Catholic Church wanted to create this Antichrist thing. And then the cheapest part of it was. We all remember from the First Omen, which I love the First Omen. I'm actually maybe want to watch part two and three again. Three, I remember more than two, but anyway.
Oh, I think I love two more than
Yeah,
one.
I remember liking them. It's just been a long time, and I'm like, I got to revisit it. But that first movie, the big moment where the babysitter or caretaker or whatever hangs herself at the birthday party, it's all
Yeah,
for you.
killer,
They
yeah.
do the same fucking thing, except light her on fire this time. And it's
Yeah.
in Rome, and it's the same scenario. Like, we step it up by light. It's just, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That you took the gimmick, the thing. We
Yeah.
and that's just lazy as fuck to me. Unforgivable. No.
You know what's on for speaking of, you didn't watch Immaculate, right? Speaking of like another like
No, I want to though. Yeah.
okay, 'cause I hear mixed things about that too. I love Sydney Sweeney and I love the fact that she actually has a production company. She's part produ like she's doing a
Yeah, I
lot of
was
cool shit.
surprised to hear that. That was
Yeah,
cool.
she's doing her thing. Wow, I was really getting to a point. I was going to say
I was talking about the Catholicism thing, maybe, and the nuns and blah, blah, blah. Maybe we're going on that.
I don't know.
Immaculate.
Yeah, no, I looked over and I completely forgot. Anyway,
Yeah.
there's a couple of things, and Snack Shack is looks like a raunchy 80s style comedy.
Yes.
Did you see the trailer?
I had no idea that existed until you posted about it. And I was like, fuck, I gotta see that. That's
So
up
yeah,
my alley.
it's up for rental. The dude that made Dinner in America, which of course I love.
Loved it.
So then Monkey Man was another one produced by Jordan Peele. A lot of people seem to love it, but like the trailer makes me really kind of not want to see it. But I don't know. I've not
Yeah.
heard one bad thing about it. It's like a action revenge. It looks like kind of like a raid-ish
Normally,
type thing. I love
that's what
the
somebody had said that they liked it, and I know a lot of people liked it, that scene and stuff. But yeah, it looks like another. I love John Wick, and I love the raid and stuff like that. But I'm starting to get a little burnt on that
Yeah.
formula,
Yeah. Yeah.
So, It's not something I'd race to the theater to see. I'm sure I'll see it when
Well,
it's up
I
streaming.
was going to, and then I saw the trailer, and it just like it's something about like the cinematography just bothered me.
Yeah.
Asphalt City is the EMT movie with
I
Sean Penn.
just started that.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
How's it starting?
Looks
Did
good.
okay.
Very, very early on and stuff, but a great premise, looks great. So hopefully good.
I got Knox Goes Away, which has been on my fucking list to watch forever. Did you watch that trailer?
Never heard of that one either till you posted it, but that's definitely,
Yeah,
I'm on
so
that. Yeah.
it's still a $20 rental. It's the only movie Michael Keaton's ever directed, and it's after a hitman is diagnosed with dementia, he must race against the police to save his estranged son and outrun the ticking clock of his own deteriorating mind. And I'm like, wow, that seems pretty damn cool.
I love Keaton. I'm in, you know,
Yeah.
whatever he's doing, I want to see it. We went to, I took my son to, we saw Civil War Friday night.
You know that I still, man, you know,
Don't race to see that
okay, that's what I figured.
either.
But you posted about it in the podcast group, and then somebody just started going too into detail. I read one line. I'm like, I don't want to read anything that's going on right now. I'm
Yeah.
like, I'll just fucking wait. I don't want anyone to ruin anything for me, but it derailed me from going to see it in the theater. Now I'll just wait till it comes home.
I wouldn't. I'm not saying anything specific. I'd be generals. It's not what I was at all. What I thought I was getting, what I was gonna get when I got in there. The trailer is very misleading.
Oh,
Not a
wow.
big fan of Kirsten Dunst. Really, I don't get her star appeal whatsoever. Never did.
I like her.
I found that the main characters to be quite boring and uninteresting, and aside from a Jesse Plemons like 10-minute cameo in there, he kind of livened it up. And there are parts that are very exciting. But
You know that's her husband, right?
yes, yeah, they're gonna have some interesting looking offspring. But it's okay. It's
Heyo.
okay. It's like, you know, an A24 version of what handling a American Civil War kind of thing would be. I'm a little like, I don't know, A24, I was like, I'm always interested when they put something out, but I feel like they're getting, I don't know, they got definitely got a formula at this point, you know, on what they do. So I
Yeah.
don't
Yeah.
know.
I get it.
It's okay.
I get it. But yeah, that's basically what I have on my list. So I'm trying to knock out some shit. But yeah, man, it at the moment, Late Night with the Devil was the first thing that I was just like, this is fucking really good. Did you watch Joe Bob do the Toxic Avenger?
Oh, that was maybe one of my favorite Joe Bob episodes ever.
Yeah,
You
that was
know,
pretty
that's
good, right?
exactly the kind of movie that I love watching late night with Joe Bob.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's
so great.
So did you notice that they stopped doing double features, which is I think a good idea.
Oh, I listened to the Facebook group of Joe Bob. I'm in a couple of those that just crying about how there's no dump. I'm like, this guy's like 70 something years old. Like,
He's old. He's like 74,
he's still
yeah.
doing the show, and they're going to give us one every other week. Like, it's you're going to get the same thing. And to be honest with you, I never can stay. I don't know about you, but I can't stay up for fucking that whole shit. I usually watch it on the replay, you know. So
Yeah,
one film is fine.
completely fine. Like I was like it would have to be like if I was home, obviously I would watch it, but like yeah, the second movie I would just watch some other time because there's no
Okay.
fucking way even if you're sitting with people, it's still like a like because he's talking through it, so every episode was like 5 hours long, and it's like, yeah,
Yeah,
that's a shift.
I think one is fine, and everyone complains. Like you know, you can just watch another fucking movie by yourself. You're old man. There's no double feature. Make your
Yeah.
own, you fucking asshole. But yeah, that was a fun episode, which made up for the that Easter episode. Ooh, that Peter Rottentail. Did you watch that shit?
I couldn't.
That was awful, man. And I'm down with a bad movie, but like, it's only a bad movie of a certain era. I can tolerate like some. Later
Yeah.
on, they just became brutal to watch, and that movie was tough. Terrible.
I couldn't do it. I'm trying to see what.
No.
Do you know what came out Friday?
The last one, it was Oh,
Oh,
the
Autopsy.
Autopsy of Jane
Yeah.
Doe. That was a good movie.
I
Oh,
fucking
I'm gonna
love
check
that.
that out.
I
Yeah,
love that
yeah.
movie.
I just recently dropped the shutter and switched to the AMC
So
version.
that's what I did because
Yeah.
it's
A no-brainer.
AMC Plus is just fucking killer.
I feel like that's gonna be what I think Shudder's gonna eventually just be pared down to be in that, you know. I don't know how they, I mean, I know they're the leading horror people, but and stuff, the fact that I don't see why would you want the Shudder app when you can only, it's only a little bit more and you get all this extra shit, you know? Like,
I don't think people are aware, to be honest with
yeah,
you. I
yeah.
really don't, 'cause like I just when I mention it, people are like confused, but I'm like, oh yeah, you could totally, you know, if you have AMC Plus on top of so you have Shudder, like every app now gives you like other channels, like whatever
Sure.
HBO does, or like
Yep.
you know, Showtime folded and went into Paramount, you know, like all these things. Like everyone's just kind of like moving shit around, but it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I love it all. God damn, what else is there? Let's see. Did you watch the Antisocial Network on Netflix?
Yes.
Fucking good. Wasn't that really well made?
It was, you know, like how the Q one was, the Into the Storm or whatever the fuck, any of those, right?
Yeah, that
That's
was
the one that has the 4chan and whatnot and the memes and what
pretty
was that? Sorry.
much, you know, and it's like it fills me in. Were you ever like a chat board guy? I never was.
I love Reddit.
I was too busy getting my dick sucked.
I love Reddit. I love just the format of it, and the humor I find on there. And let me tell you, I still miss the IMDb chat boards. I
Oh,
really
wow.
love the IMDb, because you could go to your favorite actor, and there was people t on there talking about that actor, and every page and films, or if you don't understand something in the movie, people picking theories about it back and forth. I did like that shit, but that was just chat though, no images, no memes, no nothing like that. But anyway, go.
What do you do when you can't understand something in a movie?
Sometimes I love the Wikipedia page.
Oh, that's a
Sometimes
good
if
one.
I miss something and I'm like, I go to the plot, I'm like, what is,
Yeah.
they don't always give spell something out for but or I go on Reddit, I find some intelligent discussions sometimes.
I go to like YouTube and I just type up the name of the movie and then it'll be like ending explained or something.
Okay.
I just watched the Seating, which is like forgot the director's name. It might have been one or his first or second movie. He's married to Karen O from the Yes.
Okay.
This movie was really cool. It just I wanted more, but it's like
Barnaby Clay.
Barnaby Clay. Yeah.
Yeah, writer and director.
So he, man, it's a really dark movie. So is this guy just is in the desert, and he like this fucking kid just kind of like fools him into going to this section because he's trying to like save him or something, and then he ends up just kind of like in a trap, but this trap has this house that has a girl in it, and then it just goes from there. And it's really interesting. It's like it's almost like Eden Lake, you know, with the shitty kids and like what's that fucking The Hills Have Eyes type shit.
Okay. All right.
So there's some really interesting.
I see Magnet put it out. I do love their
Yeah, I love
great
Magnet.
poster too. Great artwork on the
Yeah.
poster. It looks like an old film.
I think you would appreciate it. I don't want to
Check it out.
I don't want to give anything away. I wish it would have just, you know, went into like overdrive on certain parts, you know. But
Check that out. Damn.
that was one of those movies that I just watched. I finally saw
Did you
May.
see? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I saw Mayhem, which was one of the movies that we talked about.
That's in my queue.
So
Yeah.
in
How is
the
that?
so the guy who made Frontiers, The Divide, you know, he's yet to make something that I love, but there's a lot of good elements to the movies. Like he's made, it's just to me, he hasn't made that one great one, you know? And this was no exception, you know? It just was a little too slow moving for a movie that I would, if you see the trailer, you think you're going to watch like another Raid movie or something like that, John Wick. And when it went there, it fucking went there hard. But it was overall underwhelming. Like it was good. It was just probably like a little too slow for the action movie that I thought I was gonna get, you know?
I'm getting a lot of those kind of movies this year. Like when I grade on IMDb, so that's how I remember that I watched something. I watched so much shit, but like a lot of 6 out of 10s. Like that was fine, but like nothing blowing me away except the ones that stand out were I really liked Self Reliance on Hulu. Did you see that with Jake Johnson? Was that his name? Jake
That's a movie.
Johansson. Yeah. It's very much, it's up on Hulu. It's in the vein of think like 13 Game of Death, Deep Thrill,
Oh,
that kind
yeah.
of scenario.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, with a lot of humor in it. It was I wasn't expecting anything from it, but I was pleasantly
Self-indulgence.
surprised.
What is self-reliance?
Self-reliance, yeah.
Oh, no. I know that one
Yeah.
where he's playing a game.
Yes.
That was pretty
Yeah.
good.
I love that. I thought it was very good. I wasn't
Yeah.
expecting anything. And I was like,
So
this is great.
he has to be with someone or he gets killed, something like that.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
I loved it.
I
I thought it
forgot I
was one of
watched
the
that.
better films I've seen this year. That and then what was the other one? Oh, another one, Animal Kingdom, I've seen. It's a French film about something going on in society where people are morphing into like animals.
Oh, wow.
Or like mutating into animals, and it's, I don't know, it's handled in a just a super interesting way where it's not like like it's got a very human aspect to it, like how you would react, not like superhuman powers so much, like it's a superhero movie or some dumb shit like that, but how you'd react if like someone in that you knew or family was afflicted by this or started to change. It was very interesting. That was Animal Kingdom, and I'd recommend that one. That's up on Prime, I think, for dope. But really, I've probably been watching. I've been trying to rewatch some shit, some old stuff. Especially, I watch it with my son to see what holds up. And one I was very disappointed was I watched Midnight Run, and I didn't.
Oh, really?
I found the soundtrack so distracting.
Ha,
And while I found
as soon as
humor in
you
it,
said it, like I just hear that fucking like
guitar.
80s, like yeah.
Oh, I found it so like hard and distracting. Like it was bothering me. Do I love
Oh.
Grodin and De Niro interacting? Sure. Like my
Yaphet
son was like,
Kotto.
we had to shut it off. Like he was like, this is terrible. But
Really? Yaphet
yeah.
Kotto, Dennis Farina.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in it, but I was so annoyed by it. I found myself so annoyed that I wasn't annoyed by it back in the day. And I was like,
Yo,
God, this is distracting.
so I've been doing the same thing too. Like I've been revisiting movies and albums.
Yeah.
Because I think once we do the podcast, we're so like aware of new things. So it's always like, all right, what's new? What's new? What's new? And it's great because most people don't do that, but we're always waiting for the new thing. So I'm like, let me just divide up my time, you know? Like I even considered going to Facebook and like writing like, hey, give me a year for today or this week, and I'll listen to nothing from, but if someone says 1989, I'll listen to nothing but albums from 1989 and watch a movie from 1989 just for shits and giggles. Do it this year. Maybe for the podcast group, it would be fun, something fun to do.
Sure.
So Get Shorty, I watched, it's up on HBO. And speaking of Dennis Farina, so that's the Elmore Leonard book. And did you ever watch that?
Oh yeah, not in a long, long
It's
time,
been
but
a while, and I put it
yeah.
on. I'm like, yo, it's so entertaining. It really was the lineage that Pulp Fiction started. Like it just had, it was like one of those like, kids that Pulp Fiction had. with like the cast and the way everyone is and the way like people are just like randomly having conversations about the most ridiculous things. I found myself really think like I loved it. And then another one that I did was Clear and Present Danger, which
Oh,
was
wow.
Jack Ryan. So it was the third movie with a Jack Ryan character, the second one with Harrison Ford. And what I love about it is just the dirty politics of it. You know, it's like this cartel, you know, takes out this one dude who just happens to be really good friends with the president of the United States. And, you know, Jack Ryan is kind of like sniffing around. And great cast, you know, Willem Dafoe's in it, Benjamin Bratt. Just really good stuff. I love Patriot Games probably a little bit more, but A Clear and Present Danger was just a fun rewatch to do because it's been, so maybe that was like 94, so it's like 30 years.
Sounds about right, yeah. I rewatched The Freshman recently. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Very underrated film, funny. I miss Bruno Kirby, man. That guy was a hell of a character actor, man.
He was.
Died way too young.
So young.
Yeah, that's a shame. I watched Going in Style, the George Burns film that was on HBO like 8 million times a day growing up.
Yeah.
Awesome movie. Funny, very sweet, sentimental. Hits different when you get older, like how it feels like about loneliness and shit like that. A lot of subtext. Very good film. Enjoyed that. And I rewatched Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains. Did you ever see that? It's a kind of
Fabulous
a cult.
Stains?
Yeah, it's a cult film about a fake punk band and their rise up. Paul Jones, not Paul Jones, Paul Cook and Steve Jones from the Pistols are in it. A young Ray Winstone, the British actor, he's in another band. It's about your young Laura Dern. But it's a fake band, a fictitious punk band, and they're touring, starting out, stuff like that. It's surprisingly good. It's a cult film. It's a little small one. Not a lot of people have heard of it. It's always interesting when you. It made me think of like anytime there's a show and a movie about a band, you got to make it. Like, is the band, they got to make the band's music like by the audience by like this is a legit band. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to sound like sometimes like this band's the next big thing like that. But the band, you listen to the music and you're like, huh? But this is good. Good songs in it. Shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this would be the films like that. You're like, this would be the song that everybody loves to blow this band up. It's not very good, you know, that you see that all the time and shit. But this is a good one.
Never even heard of it, which
Yeah.
reminded me of this band called, there's a movie called Rock Bottom, which I wanted to check out. It follows a hair metal band, Cougar Snake of 1980s, whose career ended as it started due to its clash with the direction of the group. Is it on Amazon
I'm
Prime
looking
yet?
it up.
Yeah.
Came out in 2020.
No, Rock Bottom, just one word, Rock Bottom.
This is another Rock Bottom. Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong Rock Bottom.
It's got I guess it's got Jon Bon
Oh,
Jovi's
okay.
kid. So it
Cougar
looks,
Snake.
but
That's great.
the trailer looked really cool.
It's on Prime for $5. I'm gonna have to get on that. I actually rewatched. Did you see The Rocker with Rainn Wilson?
I fucking love The Rocker. So when we first met Randy, shout out to Randy,
Yeah.
who I helped. I saw her this weekend. Her brother's in that movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Lonnie Ross is. I forget what the fuck he plays in there, but I just she was like, "Oh, my brother." Like when I guess maybe when I first met her through you, she mentioned that.
Okay.
And I watched The Rocker, and I was like, "Yo, this movie has no business being this fucking good. Vesuvius, so good."
That's what I thought the first time I watched it. And then when I watched it again, I was like, I don't know if I like this so much.
Yeah. You're like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Aziz Ansari.
But if they go into any, like, I mean, listen, I love Rockstar, and that's, I know it's not a great movie, but fucking, you make something about that era, I'm usually a sucker for it. You know?
All right, let me, before I switch to the music stuff, I just want to say I watched Low Lifes, which is on Tubi. Did you watch the movie Influencer?
Yeah, great.
That was
great
pretty
movie.
Good, right?
Sure. Yep.
So that guy made a, or girl, I don't know who the fuck, guy or girl, made a new movie called Low Lifes, which is pretty good. It's a little bit like heavy-handed, but it's like very...
Curtis David Harder is the director.
No, different one. 2024. It's like a Japanese.
Well, you said that did influence it, right?
Yeah.
That was the director of that. But there's also a Tesh.
That, yeah.
The Kanda is the writer.
Okay, so then the writer.
Okay. Yeah, no, I saw you posted about that. It's a Tubi original. Like, that's there. It's getting in the game.
Yeah, it's a Tubi original, and it's, like, pretty violent. It's kind of like, almost like a Dale and Tucker mixed in with something. But it's kind of ridiculous, but it's never boring. So it's one of those movies that where the casting could have been better, you know? So, but definitely worth the watch. I finally watched Infested. I've been waiting for Infested for like a few months now, the spider movie.
Okay.
And, it's up on Shudder now. And listen, I love a good spider movie. I haven't seen Sting yet. And it started off really good. You know, it started off very good. And you know, I bring it up because of the casting. The casting of Infested is so good. Every character is... Like, it's almost like they're real people that they're you're following them around. I feel like it kind of goes a little off the rails by the end of the movie, but it's just really good. It's really turns into a really good creature feature. That being said, Arachnophobia is still, you know, Mount Rushmore. Nothing tops that. Still waiting for a movie to even come close to that when it comes to spiders.
Did you like Eight-Legged Freaks?
That was great. That was like, and I didn't watch it when it came out. I was like, I'm not watching this fucking garbage. I must have watched it for the first time, maybe within the last 10 years. And yeah. Maybe it was on like Netflix. And I remember watching Eight-Legged Freaks and thinking like, this is so fucking dumb, but it's so fun. It's really fun.
That's a perfect description of David Arquette.
Yeah.
So dumb. It's so fun.
So fun. I've been yapping on Facebook about fucking like albums that I haven't listened to in a while, or like albums that I didn't like, and I just like go from beginning to end. I put them on, you know. Yesterday, I listened to REM's "Out of Time." It's funny. My friend Eric right here just posted this would be a really cool video content. So when this record came out, I mean, we knew REM, or I knew REM enough, you know, like Stand and all that other shit, and being like, okay, this is cool. But I feel like it wasn't until like Losing My Religion where they were kind of like all over the place. And I remember, right? And I remember getting Out of Time. And I often say this, you know, certain songs are so played out. Like, I never want to hear Enter Sandman again. I never want to hear Bullet.
It's funny you just said that, because I was thinking it's got to always come back to Metallica. Like, REM was like them, and then Out of Time is like their blackout. They were big, but like in that next level.
Oh,
big,
next
where you
level.
Couldn't escape it.
But the difference is, I genuinely have never in my life gotten sick of Losing My Religion. I hear it and I fucking love it. I love the lyrics. I love everything about it. Unlike Shiny Happy People, like whenever I hear Shiny Happy People. But yesterday I went into the album thinking like, okay, so like I was driving out to Queens to go play a show. I'm like, I'm going to listen to this front to back, and I'm going to try to remember why I didn't like it. And it worked a lot better yesterday. Like it really connected a little bit more. Radio song with KRS-One. It just very cool. Still loved it. Losing my religion, even Shiny Happy People. Like when I went into it, I'm like, okay, make pretend you never heard this song, and it's really cool. You know, you
It's
have,
a great song. Like, yes, it got played to death, and it's an earworm kind of tune, but the guitar, the structure of it, the chorus, it's a
very
well-written
unique,
tune, you know. You know what? It helps to like not think about the videos, I think. Because the videos are like, I don't know. I know that everybody loved that you losing my religion and shit, but it's now older. I look back and he's dancing around in the wings and the ramp. That's what all the videos look like then. I can't remember whether Anton Corbin maybe directed it,
I
that was
don't
directing
remember.
all the videos.
I mean, he
Or the
was.
video of Radio Song when Michael Stipe's got his hat on sideways behind
Yeah.
here. I'm like, but if you
Yeah.
listen to it, it's not
Yeah.
bad. I don't want to see that shit anymore.
Well, so
You
the
know?
next record, the record after that was a record that I think is my favorite REM record,
And
which so.
Texarkana is one of my favorite songs by them too. Sorry.
Oh, so I always loved off of Out of Time, Losing My Religion and Near Wild Heaven, which I think Mike sings
Good one.
mostly of, because it sounds like I don't, it was so different. And but this time the record hit, but the song Low, I still hate. That's like the one clunker.
It's a filler tune.
But Automatic for the People was the record after, and I think that's my favorite one. But that had Everybody Hurts. I never want to hear Everybody Hurts ever again. But
Hate that fucking song.
I love the Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight. I love Find the River. Night Swimming is
Find the
like
River. Yeah, I
so
mean
good. Yeah.
that was one of those records, man, that I'm never gonna say like I was some huge REM fan. I always liked REM, but I wasn't like I gotta see them, I gotta do this, whatever. But when I worked at the record store at Record World, Automatic for People was one of the records that everybody, the metalhead, the Cure fan, the old guy that only listened to Boston, like everybody that worked in the store, we could put it on and like everybody loved it.
Yeah, that was like man, I always said in high school, everyone agreed on Tribe Called Quest, Beastie Boys. There were certain groups where, like, if you went out, like, if we hung out in a parking lot, like, okay, like, this is what it's like, okay, well, like, Tribe Called Quest was like, all right, fine, Low in Theory, we're like, all right, no problem with this, or like, the Sabotage, like, no, what was that? The Beastie Boys had that Root Down EP that had like all like the different like fucking like remixes of it and a bunch of other songs like Flute Loop at the end. Yeah, that was pretty loved. But yeah, like I said, it's been fun. I did it started the record thing started for me was when I decided to listen to Funk Dubious's second album, which I never paid attention to after the first one.
That's Brothers Doobie. No, what is that one called? It's got a green cover, right?
Yeah, it had hold on,
Got
let
that
me
superhero tune on it.
hold on. So yeah,
Super
Lost.
Ho or whatever the fuck it's
Yeah,
called.
Brothers Doobie,
Yeah.
and
That's a good record.
it had Lost in Thought, and I didn't know because I only had the first album, and I would listen to, like, the Funkiest and all that other shit. But as soon as I hit Lost in Thought, Muggs really fucking he killed it. Like, if you look at their Spotify, their top five songs, four of the five are on that album.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, and then I didn't really pay attention to it. And then I listened to it and I'm like, this is really fucking good. And I shame on me for never really giving it a chance after the first record. And then from
Yeah, back in
there.
the day, everybody, Muggs, House of Pain in Cyprus was so huge, obviously, but that Funk Dubious shit, that's like how Premier laced like Group Home or something. Like it's like not well known, whatever, but some of this producers like most banging beats is in there, you know. Yeah.
For sure. So it started from there, and I thought, okay, you know what? I'm like, let me just dive down. I went to everything from like the first Fountains of Wayne record that like I had a connection to, because in my head when I listened to the first Fountains of Wayne record all the way through, if it wasn't for the kind of like soft production, that record should have been just like they were like kindred spirits to me to like the Weezer Blue album, which was huge for me. And then I'm like, wow, you know, like this record could have hit if it had that same like Rick Ocasek production. Then I did the first Dos Effects album. I've done like 10 albums so far, like on and movies on the Facebook wall. And speaking of the Blue Album, to wrap it up, I know you and your son checked out some live music, right? Didn't you see like Weezer with someone else, or maybe it was Fall Out Boy?
No, I took him to Fall Out Boy
Jimmy
with
World. That's what it was.
Jimmy Eat World, who I've heard you speak of, and other people. You know, I missed that whole era of rock and roll, so like I didn't know shit about that. I knew the one song, obviously. I heard the fucking middle that was everywhere or whatever when that came out. And there was another band before them that I don't even fucking remember. My son loves Fall Out Boy, so he was pretty damn excited. So yeah, we took it. I had one of those like side of the stage seats in
Yes.
the upper deck. You know, that was the
Yeah.
best I could do because they
Yeah.
were fucking expensive, bro. But
Yeah. Where was it?
yeah, what's that?
Where was it?
At MSG. Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the group of seats that once it sold out, like fucking fast as fuck. They're like, yeah, let's add these ones that are like almost like behind the band, but not
Yeah.
quite. You
Yeah,
know,
because
so
I always
that.
wondered to myself, I'm like, who the fuck sits over here? There's like, it's like
The people that buy tickets
you're
at
almost
the
like
end. Yeah.
behind the fucking, like, you're like, oh,
Yeah.
all right, cool. Like, I'll sit,
Yeah.
I can see the drummer's drumstick from here.
Well, you know what? There's so many. I mean, there's no shortage of an arena now of cameras and you know, video of stuff where it was not. I remember at the Coliseum growing up, you could actually sit behind a fucking like a pole. In the
Yeah.
upper seats and stuff, and that's the Coliseum, and there was no video screens whatever.
Yeah,
Like there wasn't shit.
they're like tough break, dickhead.
Yeah, you had a shit ticket. That was it for the night. You know what I mean? You might have to switch with your friend on who's sitting on the other side of the pole. But anyway, yeah, Jimmy Eat World, they were great. I thought I was very impressed. You could tell they were, you know,
Well,
pros.
they probably had to like do like a quick like 45 minutes of like their most known songs, I guess.
I
But
think my son knew more than I did. Yeah, I think they probably got an hour and change, maybe if I remember correctly or whatever. But yeah, Fall Out Boy, that's not my cup of tea. But I'm sure they put on a hell of a show for anybody who would be into it. The bass
yeah.
player had a flamethrower bass, so I dug that. I
They
like fire.
so they've been around for like 30 years, right? So
Yeah.
like 30. And they started off very rough, and like they, man, they were just like, man, the first record, well, they have a record that they don't really acknowledge. So I'm not counting that, but Static Prevails, when they had two singers and the music was like fucking really cool and wild and like, you know, technical, and they were like on the forefront of like the Get Up Kids and like Braid and all these like really cool bands that were doing like really cool guitar stuff. Fucking fantastic. And then they put out a record called Clarity, which was like the fan favorite. But still, like no one cared. They were still kind of like unknown. That record is just like still, you know, some people think that's the best rock record ever made. So I mean, that's the lineage that they come from. A lot of touring, a lot of splits, you know. And then they made this record called Bleed American, and then they started to kind of like hone into like their, I don't know, just like they're like, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't play technical and we'll just write songs. And then they kind of like, I don't want to say they dumbed it down, but they definitely played stuff that was, you know, like the middle, where it's like, okay,
Right.
but the middle is fucking fantastic. You know, it's just, we covered it recently for Cover Me Bad. And as much as I never want to hear that song again when we play it, I'm like, I get it. I'm like, I get it. This is
It's
fun.
always cool for me, like just hear, like even if it's not my thing, like when a whole arena is singing a song in unison, it's always a beautiful moment. You know what I mean? Even if I'm not familiar with their work as much and stuff, but again, the middle, you know, I knew that song and stuff, but like, you know, the sing-alongs and stuff, and they be around a bunch of people in unison, it's always a righteous thing. So
Yeah,
it was a good time.
That record was great, and then the one after called Futures, just killer. You know, I mean, you're talking to someone who played in a Jim Eat World cover band for a few
No
shows.
shit.
Yeah, me and some of my friends were like, we did it for like a couple of years. We're like, okay, we'll do these songs. I mean, they are fucking fantastic. I don't know who played before them. Fall Out Boy, it makes me want to kill myself, but I get their appeal, you know, for like the younger kids.
I can't remember the name of the first band. I didn't care for it. I can tell you that.
I don't remember. But good for Jimmy World. You know, Jimmy
But yeah,
World
no. It
does
was
like,
it.
you know,
Go ahead.
does headliner stuff always. But I'm sure, like, you know, the guys in Fall Out Boy are like, hey, we love, you know, it's like, hey, let's bring them
Yeah,
along because we love them.
I like that move. You know what I mean? And we're actually, and I'm and speaking of shows too, me and my son were talking. I think this Saturday we're gonna go hit Queens, go see Primus in a Perfect Circle.
Oh,
Keep
cool.
prefer
Impressive her.
that tour. Yeah, yeah. I heard that Forest Hill Stadium is nice. I know you said it was nice, so I'm
It's
looking forward
just
to that.
fucking really easy to just maneuver. You know, you jump on a train, you walk outside, it's there, and then you jump on the train back. Like, it's very, you know, I like driving pretty much anywhere, unless it's something like that, you know, where you just jump out of the train and everything's there. So
Yeah,
that's what
how's
I like.
the you driven in there? How's the parking? It's all right. It's good.
I've never driven there because there's just no need.
This is the kind of what people are tuning in for.
Yeah.
Parking now.
Yeah.
How's the
Yeah.
parking?
You know, listen, for people in New York, it's a very big deal. You know, I went to, speaking of Queens, oh, where's that show? Knockdown Center?
Forest Hills Stadium
Oh,
or
Forest
whatever.
Hills. Yeah. So I recently went to go see Alkaline Trio and Drug Church at Knockdown Center, and there's never any parking at Knockdown Center, and it was pouring. It poured. This was a Friday that it just fucking poured, like it just poured. So much so that we finally, after 45 minutes, found a parking spot, and we took an Uber from the parking spot to the front of
Oh,
the
that's some New York shit right
That's
there,
what I'm
boy.
saying. That's what you listen. That's why us talking about the parking is very relevant, because that's our reality.
Yeah, I was
You
trying to
know.
get a parking garage for the Fallout Boy and shit, and I'm making a turn here, and I just overshot something,
Oh,
and it
you took a train? No, you took
not
a car?
drove. Yeah, I hate waiting for trains and shit. I'm done with that crap at this point in my life. I'm fucking over it. So I'll just pay for the parking.
Wow.
But like, I overshot a turn, so I had to go around the block just to go around to correct my overshooting it. Like, just two city blocks or four city blocks. The wraparound took like a half an
Wow.
hour, 40 minutes. You know, like, fucking A, man.
That's crazy that you did that.
For the garden, yeah, it's right across the street. I get that one, you know. Only like $40 or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
I hate waiting for trains, man. Just can't do it
For
anymore.
MSG, like I just, you know, we just jump on the train because it just, like, you walk out of the train and it's right there. That's why.
Going in, it's like it's not as bad as going home. And I'm like, and then God forbid there's like a fucking Rangers game that night and you're riding the train. I can't do it, man. I
Hey
can't listen
man,
to those fucking
listen.
people.
I'm not knocking the hustle. I'll never forget, you know. Yeah, I mean, listen, when a show lets out, you never know what you're gonna get. I'll never forget the Slayer show where like the Jimmy Buffett fans were there and they were this mixture, and I was just like, holy shit, what is going on? Like, people just yelling
Was a
Slayer.
train full of Slayer and Jimmy Buffett fans? Like they
Yeah.
both played in the city that night?
Yeah.
Wow,
I think
that's
it was like,
amazing.
I forget where Jimmy Buffett. Oh, because he might have done MSG, and I think we were going to Roseland or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
So,
I missed that place.
yeah,
That's
shout out to Roseland.
hilarious.
But all right, cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
so that's what we've been watching. That's what we've been doing, and that's it.
Yeah. We'll be back. Maybe we'll do the one hit hip hop wonders or
Yeah,
something
I got my
next.
list ready to go, so.
Yeah, I'm ready to go too.
Because
So
it's
we'll
for
figure
me,
out
it's
something with
like,
Joe.
you know, the way I'm gonna play that is, I think everyone should play it the way they're gonna do it. Because the way I could say In Too Deep is a one-hit wonder, like maybe you like that record. Maybe you heard that record and you think it's great. The way somebody would be like, oh, 93 Till Infinity is just that one song. But to me, I'm thinking like, no, the whole fucking Souls of Mischief record is amazing. But to you, it might. So I think individually, everyone's just going to.
There's so many ways. Because, yeah, I could look at the Souls of Mischief and then, yeah, great album and stuff. But also, like, evaluate it. Like, one song broke through and then it's kind of like, all right, you know, they never could get over that hump, but they should have. You know what I mean? There's so many ways to play it, you know?
Diggable Planets. Like, some people think Diggable Planets. Or even Arrested Development, you know.
I like Blowout Comb too, you know. So it's like,
yeah. Oh, that was one of the records that I had on my list to revisit.
Yeah, I like that record.
Those songs are long too. Like, I don't know if you remember. Like, it's like,
oh yeah,
they let that shit play.
It was different. It was like it was kind of like Beastie's doing Paul Boutique after like a huge first record. You know, it was way different than the first one.
100%, because they said that they were just like. You know, like, you know, sometimes artists like to bite themselves on the ass. And I get it, because like you do something and you're like, oh, you know, like it's even what Weezer did with the Blue Album. They're like, well, OK, this is what you think we're going to do. Then we're going to do something different. Like, some people are just pains in the asses. And like Diggable Planets are like, we're way more than just like jazz hippies. Now we're going to be like, you know, black centric or whatever the fuck.
I'm going to bring it back. Maybe that's what Motley Crue's doing right now.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna bring it back to the beginning of the episode.
But they were never that. You know, Motley Crue should just be like, yo, like if you listen to the new Judas Priest record, you're like, oh, this sounds like it came out in like 1980.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. That's cool. You brought it back to a vintage sound, and your like the Firepower record that came out in 2018 sounded like Painkiller. And then the new record was even further back, where it was just like very 80s metal.
Yeah.
You know, Motley Crue was just like, I don't know, like make a sound like.
They're a band that's like, yeah, what's popular now? You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, like Kiss.
What are the kids doing? You know, like that's some sad shit. But
yeah. Vince is like, oh, Dogs of War. Yeah, the lyrics of that song too are so bad.
Who even wrote them though?
I don't even know. So, no, no one. Who? Probably no one.
I guess Nick. I'm sure AI. AI is definitely writing lots of songs right now, and it's writing a ton of films. You know, it's not good.
And Tommy Lee is like, "Oh, dude, this is so sick! Oh, I can't wait to play this live."
He definitely thinks it's sick.
Yeah,
he's definitely said "bro" and "sick" like 8 million
bro,
times.
Bro, this is so sick! I can't wait to play. This could be so great.
This is the best thing I've done since Methods of Mayhem, bro.
You know what? I believe that. I believe that for sure. So, all right. All right. Yeah, we'll talk.
You said it all.